Welcome to Global Leader Radio, sponsored by the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University, discussing ideas that matter with people who care. Now here's your host, Director of Business Development and Instructor of Management for the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University, Alvin Miles.
Well, happy Tuesday and welcome to another edition of Global Leader Radio. Today, I'm looking forward to talking with both our guests on this week's show. They both deal with paid employees and with a volunteer army. So it's going to be a fascinating conversation today. As I told them in our early start, it'll just be three people talking with a few million of our closest friends. So Karen Finger is an active leader and connector in the Atlanta business community. She currently serves as president of the Association of Telecommunications Professionals, commonly known as ATP, a nonprofit industry organization. And in her day job, she has over 20 years of experience in the communications and technology industry. She's got great leadership positions in her experience in sales, service, as well as product delivery. And certainly she's worked with clients and companies such as Nortel, Sprint, and she's currently working with CenturyLink Business. And we also have Vaughn Williams. Vaughn serves as the athletic director of Kennesaw State University. He oversees 17 varsity sports, 280 student athletes, and a staff of 80, and is a program administrator for men's basketball, women's lacrosse, and baseball. So he's a member of the President's Cabinet, the President's Budget Advisory Committee, and the Strategic Planning Team. So hello and welcome to you both.
How are you doing, Alvin?
Thanks for having me, Alvin. Well, great to be here.
And thank you for being here. So, Vaughn, if you don't mind, we'll start with Karen.
Okay.
Well,
no problem.
Well, good. So, Karen, I know that one of the things that I read in your bio was that you describe yourself as an active leader and connected in the Atlanta business community. Can you tell us why you've chosen to highlight the connected piece?
The connector? Sure. Absolutely. So, ATP in our organization, we're a group of volunteers. It's a nonprofit industry organization. And the common thing that most of the volunteers have and leaders in the organization are that we're passionate about connecting people in the business community to do business together, provide professional development opportunities, industry information and thought leadership exchange, as well as connecting and showcasing leaders in the community that are coming out of Georgia and doing great things for Georgia.
Oh, very good. So you see, well, tell us a little bit about ATP, of course, and including its mission.
Sure. So again, our mission is really three things, professional development and making those business connections and industry information exchange. We do thought leadership forums on a monthly basis, and then we also recognize leadership, innovation, and achievement for executive business leaders that are based here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, so that recognition comes in the form of an award show, correct?
It does. We've got our big upcoming gala November 13th at the Cobb Galleria. You know, and backing up a bit, I would say that ATP, we were founded in 1999, and it started as a small group of people, a guy named Kevin Nicholas, Bob Spears, that both actually come from Sprint. And it actually just started as a small group of people that would meet at Papacito's.
Uh-huh.
And since then, we've now expanded and grown to the point that we hold our functions at both the Crown Plaza and our large gala at the Cobb Galleria. So we'll have about 600 people there. We've got 30 C-level executives, both from the enterprise community, which is non-technology companies like Coca-Cola, Aaron's. And then we've got the technology service provider category of companies. And so, you know, AT&T Mobility is up there, CBeyond. There's a list of 30 or so that on our website at atpconnect.org for more information about that.
Yeah, but we're not shy about letting you say it because that's why we have you here.
Yes, so thanks. Yeah,
not a problem. So from an ATP perspective, is ATP more local? Is it local and regional, or is it local, regional, and national? Kind of give us a flavor for the scope geographically.
Sure. So the core of our membership is based here in Georgia.
Okay.
We recently did change the A from Atlanta to Association to really start looking at the potential to expand nationally, potentially even globally. We do outreach programs. In fact, one in October, we've got the consulates from the different countries that are coming to our event, as well as the different chambers of commerce that represent different countries here in Atlanta that are trying to do business and economic development here in Georgia. So, you know, that's part of our outreach, as well as we also hosted a telecom one-on-one speed networking event, which people came in from out of town for that. So we're really expanding our reach. One quick thing also at the gala, people leave the gala. The whole spirit of the gala is really to kind of showcase all the great things that are going on in Georgia from a business standpoint. And people leave that gala thinking, wow, I didn't know so much was going on in Georgia. If I were going to open a new office, I would open it here in Atlanta.
Yeah, which works out very well. I'm sure that the Chamber of Commerce is very happy to hear that, right?
Yep.
Okay, so when you talk about economic development, now is this kind of focused on the telecom space or the communication space at large?
We cast a pretty wide net, and so we want to do our small part to support economic development, things that the Metro Atlanta Chamber is doing.
Okay.
And we're affiliated with TAG, and so they're also very into economic development.
Well, the economic development that you're working on, when you talked about that earlier, I just wanted to find out whether or not it was limited to the telecom space or whether or not it was wider than just that.
The ecosystem for telecommunications has gotten pretty vast.
And the lines are blurred, too, aren't they?
It's very blurred. So we're seeing IT services and communication services blend together. We see obviously mobility applications and wireless services really, you know, reaching a peak. Even video over, over the top video through the internet on mobile devices is becoming huge. Cloud services obviously is becoming huge. So there's even software companies that are heavily involved in ATP that are addressing security services, for example, for networks.
Okay.
And dealing with, educating people on cybersecurity and threats and how to address those things. So it's really pretty wide open.
Yeah,
we get staffing companies and consultants that come to our events. Yes.
Yeah,
so
that
it's not
sound
just
pretty broad.
It's not like your father's old phone line rotary dial anymore. It's we've really evolved as technology has evolved.
Yeah, and I do want to put a plug in for our father's old telephone line. I made a good living off that for a few
years.
Yeah,
that's true.
So these are exciting times for ATP, right, Karen?
Yes, we've got great momentum.
Now, you did mention TAG, so I want to make certain that we explore that acronym.
Sure.
That stands for?
Technology Association of Georgia.
Okay.
And so we are an affiliate partner of TAG.
Okay.
We're not a TAG society, but we're kind of their unofficial communications arm, if you will.
Okay. So what attracted you to ATP, and why'd you choose to serve in this leadership capacity?
Sure. Well, that's an interesting story, but... So what interested me was obviously I've been in the industry in a number of different companies that are all in that space.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had that experience. I knew a couple of people that were on the board there that had invited me to events. So you start going to events and I believe in kind of if you're going to participate in something, look for ways that you can contribute.
Okay.
And it's a very, our brand, I would say, as an organization, is very inclusive, welcoming, warm. Because we're all volunteer run and we don't have a large paid staff, we're looking for people to roll up their sleeves and get involved and do things. So I saw it as the best opportunity to really grow as a professional.
Okay. Well, good. So how does ATP recognize and promote leadership and excellence for Georgia?
Sure. Well, there's two ways. One, just through our own organization, so volunteering in leadership roles, chairing our gala, chairing a CIO roundtable, which would involve reaching out to CIO leaders in the community, invite them to be on panels, or putting together a monthly panel topic. So through that way, people that volunteer to do those things get to know people they probably wouldn't normally meet in their day-to-day job, perhaps.
Okay.
They raise their profile and their brand in the community and, have a lot of fun while doing it. And then from a recognition of leaders in the community, we invite the different leaders to be on our panels to discuss interesting innovations that they're working on or leading. And then, of course, through the gala that we already talked about, you know, highlighting companies and then those leaders, really, those individuals in those companies that are championing different aspects of the business.
Well, that's good. I remember that when I first met you, it was at an event at KSU.
Right.
And I think you had Glenn Laurie over, and you were talking to a group of undergrads. Am I correct?
We were, and so that came about. And back to, you know, positioning yourself, I think, to be a connector in the community, for me, that's been rewarding. That's what I think people that are involved and donate their time to do this get a benefit out of. So Don Amoroso, Dr. Don Amoroso from Kennesaw, I had met him through a seminar I took and reached out to me for help with speakers for KSU. So, you know, we, through our organization, of course, come into contact with many speakers, and within 10 minutes, we're able to really just line up a bunch of speakers for the university.
Yeah, which is critical. I mean, that is critical for undergrads. When you have students in the College of Business, the Coles College of Business, they want to understand what it is they need to be doing going forward to position themselves for stepping into larger roles and actually right. getting started in a ground level type of opportunities, right?
Right, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. So with regard to ATP, I know you mentioned TAG, and you also mentioned the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce, or the Chambers of Commerce. What other organizations does ATP partner and collaborate with?
We often will partner with an organization like we've done with TIE, which is an entrepreneurial organization. Wireless Technology Forum is another organization here in town where their focus is really, you know, specifically around wireless, which is you know, rolls up to and is a subset of the overall telecommunications industry. We, you know, there's a lot of different organizations, and there's never really there always seems to be a lot of people that show up at each event, so you
right.
never run out of companies or people to come to these things. But where we can, we're trying to do more collaboration with other organizations, even other TAG societies. We did something with the TAG Entertainment Society last month. We are doing actually something with the International Tag Society next month, just to try to condense, consolidate, and add value to our membership and our sponsors. There's more exposure for them.
Got it.
Is helpful.
Well, that's important because it sounds as though your membership really not only enjoys it, but pretty much demands it, right?
Right, absolutely, yes.
Okay. Yep. So is there other things that you're seeing within ATP that the membership really does enjoy quite a bit?
I just think the getting together on a monthly basis, I mean, the second Tuesday of every month, people have come to count on there's going to be an ATP event of
yeah.
some sort, and you really make good business friends and, you know, build your business relationships, and
okay.
people just enjoy coming to those.
Well, good. Now, I know that sometimes politics has a negative connotation, but when I think through what you've described about ATP, it sounds as though it can, of course, be an advocacy group for some of the issues in telecommunications and communications at large. Does ATP get involved politically in any trying to make sure that certain bills get through or not, one
no,
way or the other?
No, no.
Okay.
We, that's probably more in TAG's area of focus.
Okay.
We will, however, and in fact we may in January put on an event that talks about, okay, the impact of, we don't know who's going to win the next election, right?
Okay.
The presidential election.
Correct.
So we're kind of teeing up a focus in January, you know, out of the gate to talk about, okay, what does this mean for our business based on whoever won?
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's
we
right.
would partner with a law firm here in town, Walt Sapronoff.
Ah, okay.
To help host that.
Yeah, well, good. Well, fantastic. So are you seeing any current challenges in the communication space?
Oh, I think just the speed that it moves, keeping up with everything. Obviously, there's a, you know, it's hugely competitive and cutthroat, which actually is good.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of innovation going on.
So competition does spur innovation.
Competition spurs innovation. You know, but you're seeing, you know, of course, rates decline.
Mm-hmm. Which is great for the consumer.
It is.
But it does put pressure on margins.
Right. Absolutely. So in my day job, you know, we're seeing that. But as I say, in my day job, you know, most of my career, I mean, has been spent with helping large enterprise and service provider customers and basically helping them get, you know, bigger, faster, better, leaner, and meaner.
Well, great. So how important is it from your perspective, Karen, for organizations to ensure that their employees, their colleagues, and their leadership is focused on lifelong learning and education?
Well, I think it's huge. In many organizations, you know, the individuals really have to take that on themselves and decide to do it. And we do see a lot of companies, though, that actively support ATP. They send their people to events. They get involved with the thought leadership forums and the education. But, you know, I believe really, I mean, ATP is really all about personal and professional development.
Yeah, and that's important. So here at Global Leader Radio, you're listening to Karen Finger, and she currently serves as the president of the Association of Telecommunications Professionals. In her day job, she works with CenturyLink Business. And so we will pivot from Karen and pivot towards Vaughn Williams. So, Vaughn, how are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful, Alvin. Thanks for having me today.
Well, thank you for being here. As a matter of fact, if this were television, you'd look like $1 million. But since it's radio, we can both look like $1 million. So, Vaughn, give us a feel for who's the man behind the voice. So, what can you help us make us a little bit more familiar with your personal background?
Well, my personal background is one of a former student athlete, raised in the Northeast. Played collegiate football up in the Northeast and studied engineering for a little bit in college, and then decided that sports was going to be the direction that I wanted to go. And I was very fortunate and blessed to get my first opportunity at the University of Utah, and worked in several roles. And I walked into a good situation as senior management at the age of 23, 24, and a CFO of athletic department, and moved there for 4 years, and then went to University of Toledo and did that some more, and then went on to Boston College, and changed my direction of my career and looking at different disciplines in college athletics, more strategic planning, facility management, event management, and construction management. And then I ended up going to University of Connecticut at UConn for another year. That was my last stop before coming to Kennesaw State to help them get to that. They just transitioned from Division I AA or FCS to the BCS era, and helped them with football, manage coaches, strategic planning, branding initiatives in regards to how football was going to be viewed, and a host of other things. So, which leads me to the great opportunity to be at a great institution right now. Love the colors. My high school colors were black and gold, and now I'm black and gold again, so I'm at home with myself. But just a tremendous opportunity here at Kennesaw State in a tremendous community, Metro Atlanta, Georgia, the Southeast, home of college athletics. Everybody gets it, understands it. It has a place to play in a community, and just a unique opportunity and a place to work for a great president, Daniel Papp. So.
Well, I appreciate you for going through that, but mm-hmm. I tell you that you ran through that bio so fast, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of peaks in that bio that you didn't touch on. One in particularly is your last stop before coming to KSU. Mm-hmm. You experienced quite a bit of success at UConn, right?
Yes. UConn was a great stop. I was able to be around a couple national championships on the women's basketball side, the men's basketball side, football. Able to, our goals were always to go to a BCS Bowl. We were able to be in the Fiesta Bowl, which people didn't think would be possible at University of Connecticut, and played Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. So a lot of things from all of our sports, hockey, baseball, was able to go to his first regional, go to a super regional first time. That's happened for a Northeastern school before this current year in the World Series with Stony Brook. But just a great time to be at the University of Connecticut. Got to go to the White House because and shake the president's hand, which was a neat thing. Got the job at Kennesaw State when I was at the Final Four for the men when we won a national championship. So a lot of great memories out of University of Connecticut.
Well, great. And so I didn't want to short sell that for certain. But we have people listening to our program that are going to be far and wide, and then they'll listen to the fact that this is called Global Leader Radio. And I may even perhaps get a question that says, what are you doing with the athletic director of KSU on a show about global leadership? And so my answer would be pretty simple. It's the fact that identifying, cultivating, retaining, attracting qualified talent cuts across all genres and all countries, because certainly you have, in your tenure, seen lots of students that come from in from other countries. And so to help them to get themselves together in America, working here, and perhaps even making sure they're showing up on time for school, et cetera, and making sure that they're in tip-top shape and working with coaches who then work with those students. Mm-hmm. What is your thoughts around that aspect of leadership?
Well, I think it's I'm glad you bring that up because, once again, Director of Athletics at many institutions across this nation have a diverse amount of stakeholders. And there's no doubt at Kennesaw State we've had success with a lot of international student athletes. From you name it, we've had them from Africa, from Europe, from Asia, South America. So it's a big part of the experience of being higher education, I think, is to bring those models of difference, bring those models of diversity onto the campus and impact lives, not only on campus, but amongst our student athletes. It brings a different flavor of what is priorities in different countries, what is as known as leadership and the privilege of being getting an education for free. And that doesn't happen in the international side as much as we think. America is great for that, college athletics. So
wow.
It is amazing how our student athletes that come from an international background really take education seriously and they're getting money for their endeavors and their talents on the field of play. So it's very neat.
Well, that's impressive. The other reason why I thought you would make a great guest, and I know I'm right about this, is the fact that certainly you're on the president's cabinet, the president's budget advisory committee, and the strategic planning team for the university. So one of the things I know that Kennesaw is known for is its international endeavors, mm-hmm. International global initiatives. Mm-hmm. Good friend Dr. Barry Morris is there as well. So with regard to that, when you look across the board at what KSU is doing, did that factor into your decision to be a part of what we're doing here?
I think everything factored into that part. I think the leadership and going in a direction that looks at diversity from all values, all corners of what that means. And I think it's important in this day and age for our students to understand they're going to go into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the world by, listening to Karen speak is smaller in a certain degree, and we need to be able to adapt to that and figure out how we can get those challenges. It's a different day than when all of us were growing up and ability to reach across the line to international and Skyping and so on and so forth and the things that we can do. Our kids are growing up doing that. There is no boundaries, mm-hmm. and we need to prepare our young people to understand how to take advantage and to do with those boundaries.
So, Karen, what are your thoughts on that when you hear Vaughn talk about the similarities and some of the differences as well, but getting people prepared for what really happens in the world?
Right, and one of the biggest pieces of advice to kind of piggyback on that would be to get involved in an organization. I mean, the world is huge, but it's also smaller. And mm-hmm. I think if you kind of find a group of people, like-minded people, that you can be an organization you can be a part of, like ours, for example. It makes the world seem smaller.
Mm-hmm. So, do you actually allow undergrad students to be a part of ATP or no? Or has it even come up?
Well, we have had some discussion around outreach.
Okay.
To undergraduate students, okay. and graduate students to get them involved because they are the next generation of our leaders.
Exactly.
And we are starting to see more 20-somethings join our organization, and it's funny because they're like, oh, you need to be twittering this and twittering that, and we're like, whoa, hold on, and it's funny because we're a communications organization. We weren't doing a lot of that stuff. So now we're videotaping things and we're tweeting and we're doing all that. So it's been a great getting some new blood in there. But we are doing some outreach to the universities. Kennesaw, we sponsored a convergence innovation competition through Georgia Tech. We didn't sponsor it. We hosted the winners, mm-hmm. and sponsored those winners to present to some of our business leaders. We also provide scholarship funds to Southern Polytech University. So, but no, we haven't. Because we're just not sure they would have an interest in showing up necessarily.
Okay. Well, we need to look into that. Yeah. I'll take that as an action item.
Sounds good.
So Vaughn, when you look at building organizations, and certainly an assistant AD is responsible for really running the show there, right? I mean, doesn't that normally happen where the AD is really got a lot of strategic responsibilities, but yet the assistant perhaps has more of the tactical? Mm-hmm. Is that kind of the way it works out?
Yeah, Alvin, I think it's like any major organization. You know, you have your set of leaders that have to carry out different things, and there is strategic, bigger picture, and then there's tactical. Things that have to be done and have to be carried out. And I think in our organization, at higher education level, especially in athletics, there's so many stakeholders. Like I said before, there are the internal stakeholders, faculty, staff, those things we have to communicate. We have to understand they're part of the organization and we work for them. Then there's students, then there's alumni, then there's donors, and then there's corporate sponsors. You know, there are a lot of stakeholders, standard parents, a lot of stakeholders that we have to deal with, and we have to be able to flow very, and everybody has to be in a servant mentality of how those things are going to be taken care of and understand. At the end of the day, it's about impacting a life.
Right.
And getting people prepared for 40 to 50 years of their life. And so we take it very seriously in what we have to do, because they get that certain amount of time. And then we have to make sure with the limited time that they have as athletes, as academics in the community, that they can accomplish those things.
Well, I appreciate you for saying that. So when I always think back to one of the quotes I heard, and I love to repeat it over and over again, is that the speed of the leader determines the pace of the pack. And certainly you are the leader of the athletic department at KSU. So what is your management style?
Well, I would say my leadership style would be a servant leadership.
Okay.
I believe very much into investing in people. And I think, once again, the equalizer, as I tell our team all the time, is that it's not about resources all the time. We can be just like the University of Georgia, so to speak. We can't be in resources, but we can in people. Mm-hmm. And that's what impacts lives. People impact lives. So I think those are the things. And I think from a democratic point of view, I think we all have to get together. I want everybody to understand what they're getting into, and a lot of communication and informative about the decisions that we make. But I get back to, it's about serving. We're in a service industry. Many of us are. And it is about serving our lives. And so we have to look at it a little bit differently. And we have to make sure that we are, in our area, we are educating ourselves. You talked about lifelong learning. And so I always tell our staff, that's what we ask for our student athletes. We are pushing them to reach their potential. Well, as staff members, we have to do the same. So I take them through a series of reading books. It's about making them better people at the end of the day. And so to do that, you have to invest. So you have to invest in people. That's the only way to do it, is to truly invest in people being better every day. And that's what we ask for our student athletes, and we have to do the same.
Nothing less for your employees than you do for your student athletes, so the people you serve. So you have an internal customer and obviously an external customer,
too. Yes, we
do. So with regard to, that sounds like the second step, the development, right? Mm-hmm. The first step, of course, is choosing those people, the people that should be on the bus,
right,
as Jim Collins says. So what qualities does Vaughn Williams look for in prospective employees?
Yeah, well, I keep it very simple. I think you're looking for outstanding people that have outstanding work ethic, that have outstanding ethics and character. I think you can do a lot. I think also you look for somebody that has a servant mentality. We want people that are going to say we, not I, that are always thinking about the other. And I think it's a team type of mentality that, once again, one has to not worry about how they achieve, but how we achieve, and that great things will come to those. So I'm looking in a meeting for, you know, are they talking to other people as they walk in, how they are dressing, the people out front, how they're talking to people when they come inside and interacting with student athlete. It starts at that first phone call.
Okay.
It starts at, are they sending the handwritten note? We always talk about that. Those things never go away from me. And the email. I mean, what is the correspondence? How it is? What are they inside? And I always tell the student athletes when we're recruiting student athletes, I had one basketball student athlete, and we were recruiting, and you know, I met with a student athlete, but I'm always looking at what it makes them tick. Tell me about you. Who are you? And I think that's what we need from our people, because once again, to impact a life, we all have to be, I want those values to be, you can work with those things. You can work with those things.
Well, I appreciate that. So when you think through, people actually performing on a job, it's about the behaviors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how much time do you invest in an employee who perhaps is not performing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you got to invest a good time. And I think, once again, it's about giving someone, do they have the proper tools to succeed?
Okay.
And so I think you have to be strategic with each individual to understand what their goals are, what you ask them to do, and have you give them the proper tools to do that. So I think once you can eradicate and you've given them the proper tools, then we can get down to what are they really doing? Are they getting done what they need to do? And I think, you know, you want people to buy in. And okay. I think you can't treat everybody the same. Each individual comes around sometimes slower, sooner. So there might be some things in their personal life or things that they're going through or things that they've had in their past if you're coming in as a new leader. So I think you have to take all those things into account. But at the end of the day, I think you'll eventually know if you can have somebody on your bus. That doesn't mean that they're not valued. Mm-hmm. They might not have the same values as you have on your bus. They might not get on another bus. So you need to push them onto that. So I never talk about you're not good enough, you're not talented. That's not it. You might not be the fit. I use the word fit.
It's about the fit.
It's about the fit, and you have to find the right people to get that fit.
So basically, when it comes to interviewing a prospective employee, and you can kind of get a feel for what's a red flag, what are some of those things you look for? And they may be an amalgam of what we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. but then perhaps there may be another thing that you're looking for that ends up being a red flag.
Yeah, I think it's the small things. And I think we do a very thorough job of calling references. And I'm a big believer, you don't call who's on the – I always tell this to our student athletes, don't worry about the people – that are on your reference list. Worry about the people that aren't. And that's the truth. And some people don't do it. Some people don't recruit that way. But me thoroughly, it is about what Karen was talking about, being a connector, right? So you build relationships across the country in your field, and you got to be able to go, if it's a coach, I want to hear, do you have a list of student athletes I can talk to in your past? You know, what other coaches, how you doing with coaches? I say, I'm about to call people in the athletic department and find out about you. So it is important. You know, I know what the other people are going to say.
Right.
I said the person on the reference sheet is what the other people are going to say, and that determines. And I think how they respond to those questions and how they respond to is there delay and those type of things. If I feel this have something to have, and I think every leader, sometimes it breaks down to gut.
Right.
And gut feeling, and I think you have to go with that. You have those instincts. You have to make judgment calls. But if you can do your vetting, and I think you can, you know, you'll do the best you can.
Yeah, and that's important for the people that are listening to this broadcast, because when you think about recruiting, of course, is your line of work, and also what you do as well, Karen, when you're talking about people that want to come and work with ATP, you've got to choose people of high character because they represent the organization.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so with that in mind, recruiting is no different in the paid world as it is in the volunteer world. Okay, right?
Yes, and there's so much commonality between what we're doing and what Vaughn was talking about with leadership. And actually, a leader that used to live here in Atlanta, James Dallas, who was CIO for Georgia Pacific, once said, you know, he once did a speaking engagement for us. He said, you know, you're hired before you even walk into the room. Like,
wow.
People know, we already kind of know about you from your reputation, that you're most likely hired before you've even started the interview.
Your reputation precedes you.
Huh? Nowadays, with LinkedIn and Facebook and just the network of people out there, you know, there's typically a lot of word of mouth about you as a performer, your character, your work ethic, your servant leadership mentality. We at ATP, exactly like Vaughn was saying, it's a server leadership mentality. We've got volunteers that we, you know, every volunteer volunteers for different reasons. They want to get something out of the organization, right? They want to give, but they're doing it, you know, they're not getting paid, so they're doing it for some reason, right? You got to find what that motivation is. Same with our sponsors. I mean, we can't function without funding.
Right.
So we spend a lot of our time, you know, recruiting, getting companies engaged that will see value out of what ATP can do for them. So we always approach it from that aspect. And same with our board of directors, and we have executive advisors as well, that once you've been on the board for a while, you may move on to an executive advisory capacity. They're still involved, engaged. And so you're dealing with like a lot of different personalities, different stakeholders, our membership. And so it's constantly thinking about, okay, what's going to motivate them to stay involved, to give their time, you know, to help promote the ATP organization and brand.
So what's in it for them is what you're constantly looking for.
Yeah, and so that's what I always try to figure out. What's in it for them? you know, different reasons. Some people come, you know, a little bit of a red flag to me is when someone comes to something and they think they're going to get immediate, let's say they're in sales and they think they're going to get immediate sales leads out of it and sell something, you know, meet some executive, sell something right then and there. That to me, the approach really, the mindset should be, I want to come because I want to learn, get educated, meet people.
And start a relationship.
And start some relationships. Be consistent about going to things. And then from there, the rest really takes care of itself.
Okay.
I want to add to that because a red flag that I was thinking about when Karen was talking was in our area and being a mid-major program at Kennesaw State, we have salary constraints.
Mm.
And, like I came here and I've taken most of my jobs, I didn't take them because of money. I took them because of impact. Mm-hmm. And what I can bring. And I want, when somebody comes in to my office and they want to talk about money at the end of the interview, mm-hmm. then I automatically understand they're in it for themselves.
Right.
They're not in it for the opportunity that we're putting before them. And I think that says a lot. There's a time and a place to talk about those things. And I know people have to pay those bills, but that's their choice. I want people with a servant mentality.
Exactly.
That is more about the part. It's more about, man, this is going to be a great opportunity to impact lives. And we set it up in such. And so, and now I want to come here. And now we can start doing that. We need to get through that. That becomes a flag for me. And I had that happen this time, two times this year. And we had to make a,
tough
search.
Choice,
the
huh?
search went on.
Yeah.
It was a long search.
Okay. And sometimes it ends up being longer than you want, right?
And, we had to start the search.
That's right.
Because we were looking for the fit, and it has to be a mentality. If you have everybody with that mindset, there's limitless to what you can do to impact the lives and impact and help to do what we're going to do.
Well, I want to pull on that thread, mm-hmm. Vaughn, and thank you, Karen, for your thoughts around that, the red flags when interviewing prospective employees and the whiff them with regard to why people get involved in organizations such as ATP. One of the things that I was really excited about today was to have someone on who has not only been to the mountaintop, but understands what happens with regard to taking others there.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you in a Division I school, you're playing college basketball, and you're taking people to the national championship, I mean, what other goal is there? Right. I mean, I'm certain that there are certain other goals beneath that people have gotten to that allow them to get there. I mean, you got the, the Sweet 16. You got to make all the various tournaments and then make the next level. But what I really want to focus on with this next question is, how do you get that level of commitment and how do you get that level of accountability from people who are not being paid? Is it about really finding that focus point and what's in it for them? Or is it about having them rally around something so big that, they see it as a big, hairy, audacious goal that they can really jump on? Or is it about having the right coach who can bring all of that together as a combination of all of it? Help me understand.
Well, that's an interesting question. I think, first things first, let me clarify what the mountaintop and what I perceive. I think impacting lives is the number one thing. I think championships are great. But I think, if I can have 100% graduation rate, 100% job placement rate, that'll trump any national championship at any level, any time. That's just personally.
Perfect.
Vaughn Williams and how Kennesaw State's going to do things. Secondly, I do think it is about vision, and it is about rallying people behind a belief of not doing. I've been in situations at all my different institutions that we were underdogs,
mm-hmm.
except for Connecticut. Connecticut wasn't the underdog, okay? But when I worked at Utah, we were underdogs. And we went to the Final Four in men's basketball my last year. When I got to Boston College, another again, underdogs, went to 10 straight bowls, went to the NCAA, those type of things. Kennesaw State becomes that underdog mentality. We don't need to be. We are, though. And I think it is about getting people to rally on. I think that's why you pick people with a servant type of mentality. Then it's easier to rally them behind what can be, what we want to do, and to get excited about that than just being at the top. And that's a harder battle. And so I think, at UConn, that's an expectancy. And mm-hmm. there's a challenge to keeping people at that level. But I do believe the work that went into and the fun that goes into trying to make something, just like Kennesaw State has done There has been blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of fun that has brought us to this point, almost 50 years old. This is where athletics is, and this is what we aspire to do. And as I speak to those student athletes, they understand that we want to be the best we can be in the class, and we want to be the best we can be in the community. And then we want total domination of the competition field. Now, in the volunteer sector of that, whether it be student athletes being considered volunteers or others that we brought along, it's about that vision of what we can be. And I think once you get the big mo going, we all need the big mo.
You got to have the big mo.
You know, you can establish that. But I do think it's about putting it out there. Not everybody's going to see it. But you have to have enough people that can somewhat see it and that can activate it. So that's how I see it.
Well, I appreciate you for looking at it from the perspective of the student and making sure that the graduation rate is what it should be in, and we keep our priorities straight. Mm-hmm. However, now knowing that we're all competing, and certainly, you know, there's a recruiting pool and there's a vast number of students, but there's an equally vast number of universities out there competing for the same students. Right. And so looking at jobs in the future, certainly for their impact and from an employee perspective, and hiring for servant mentality, but we can't always get it right up front, right? So how do you then take that and work with that individual to help them either to get there, if that's possible? Can you remember a time when you actually thought, you know what, I don't know that this is going to work out? Yeah. And then you hung in there and this person did turn around.
Right, right. I think what we're doing at what Karen talked about, connecting, what I talk about is putting, you know, you being uniters and putting triggers in our student athletes' lives. So what we've done is started a leadership academy that all of our incoming student athletes have to go through. It's with our Center of Student Leadership on campus in University College. Take them through the 9 disciplines of leadership. Also gives them civic engagement. Also gives them testing about their strengths. I think that perception is that all athletes are leaders. Well, that might not be true. They need to understand what that means. And really, this is about bettering them as a person. But I don't think you stop there. So you have a character development position that we just brought on. We have a sports psychologist that we just brought on. And so, you know, we're putting these things, career development, career center has been tremendous. So now getting these student athletes to understand that their expectations will be to go through this program, to sophomore year be at this certain point, junior year be on internship track, okay, senior year. And as we do this, we're building their resume, we're building them how to interview, we're building them how to do these things. And I think through that, you can then filter who needs more help, who doesn't, who's behind, who's not. But I think those are the things, and I always say this, and you know this, respect the privilege.
Yes.
It's not a right to be a student athlete. It's not a right to get a college degree, even in a great land of America. It's not a right.
Oh, it's coach, a privilege. It's you a mean privilege. It's not a right?
It's a privilege. So, you know, once again, we have to then help them with that as the forces of today tell everyone it has to be a right. No, it is a privilege. And we have to make sure we remind them. Mm-hmm. Because if we do remind them, they will honor that privilege a little bit better and take care of business a little bit more than if they thought it was a right. Once again, that's what I talked about. International students come in. They understand. They're over there. They're not going to play college ball.
Right.
They're not going to get money for that today. When they come over here, they come over here with a mentality like, man, this is great.
And they got a purpose.
This is awesome.
They got a passion.
You know, I got facilities. Yeah. There's a different privilege of it. And so we have to mold that privilege and help them understand. But we need triggers in their life.
Okay.
Mentors. And we're going to start career mentors and those type of things that get them ready to understand. This is a neat thing you have. This is a great opportunity. Potential. Utilize it.
I like that. So we're talking with Vaughn Williams, who's the athletic director of Kennesaw State University. So, Karen, with regard to mentorship, is that something that ATP talks with and provides or perhaps could?
Well, Vaughn just gave me a great idea. So, yeah, we'd love to. If you're interested in trying to partner up mentors with some of your students, we definitely would love to talk to you about that.
I wrote that down, Karen. Yeah. I wrote that down early. Connector. Well, connector. Yeah. That's what I saw. I wrote that down. It's right here. Connector.
That's one of our goals as an organization, just help build the community, you know, connectedness.
That's good. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to expose our student athletes to the real world. And I say know thy environment, right? Mm-hmm. We're in a great metro Atlanta area. If I was somewhere, I don't know, Omaha, Nebraska, something, I'm sorry about Omaha, but there wouldn't be this. there wouldn't be that opportunity. So take advantage of the opportunity that the environment gives us. There's businesses, there's the Karen Fingers of the world out there, and we're just trying to make sure that we're impacting lives and giving people a better chance to succeed.
No, and that's the same in the athletics, right? Mm-hmm. You want to take what the defense gives you.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, very good. Well, I have a question I want to ask both of you. So, Karen, I'll start with you. How would you address a morale issue, for example, from the perspective of kind of compare and contrast between what you do in your day job and, of course, what you do at ATP?
A morale issue in terms of feeling stressed, down,
absolutely
frustrated,
taking on a little bit too much. In your example,
oh, yeah.
And of course, with yours might be a little bit different. Morale might take a different view or tact.
Actually, no, we run into that quite a bit with ATP. So people volunteer, raise their hand, they want to do something. I usually take them through that, you know, it really is going to involve a lot of time outside of your day job.
Mm-hmm.
My big mantra is take care of your day job first. That's your priority. That's what you're getting paid for. If you lose your day job, you're probably not a whole lot of good to anybody else. So that we really convey that. There are times where we do have volunteers and they've either taken on too much and, you know, you start seeing, you know, the stress or they're dropping the ball on things and things aren't getting done. And
okay.
So it's just a matter of strong communication. Just let us know. I mean, these are volunteers. All of us are, myself included. So, you know, you can't browbeat. You're trying to coax, encourage, motivate, and you just always have to have a plan B and just try to show them the end game, the end result of the effort. If they put the time in, you know, move up to different levels in the organization and or just get other people to pitch in and help. And that usually lifts the morale.
Okay.
Well, I would add to that. I know Karen believes that it all starts with trust. And, you know, you definitely have to do that when you have a volunteer organization. You try to do as much as you can. So I don't think you ever get to appeasing, but you get to trust. I think the other thing is being transparent and communicating, and I think there's always going to be that adversity. But I think you have to always try to bring people back to the goal at task, and sometimes you have to stand fast in the storm, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and allow them to and move them. I'm a big believer in inspiring, not as much as motivation. I believe in inspiring because the motivation, I think, is more internal, intrinsic, and inspiring is a little bit different. So I think it's just a matter of doing that. And I think, you know, you have to try to look for that next victory.
Mm-hmm.
You got to try to look for those small victories and try to point out the direction is headed, or we've taken a step back here, but we're taking three steps forward and how we're going to do that. So when you're dealing with things that you can't control, young people in my case and sometimes volunteers, I think this is about victories, but I think it's about transparency. I've been dealing with a couple of things I always do as an athletic director. And I think the biggest thing I can always say is, you know, we try to be transparent into the situation. We try to bring light to it, and we don't run away from it and head on. And I think at the end of the day, people will then respond, you know, in regards to their morale a little bit, and then you try to pick them up a little bit.
Okay. Well, thanks for those thoughts. So what do you wish someone had told you before you took over the role you currently have?
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I just look at it maybe with rosy glasses. I just feel very fortunate to be able to be in this position. And so I never complain about what I ask for. I think it's the amount of time that I spend with people. And in a servant leadership mentality, when I was at my past institution, there was a smaller group.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a lot.
Yeah.
And I think you know, you try to divvy that time and balance. I think it's always been it's always a challenge, balance, a family balance, balance for yourself, balance for reflection. And sometimes as leaders, we don't get enough time to sit down and reflect on the decisions and things that we made because the pace is moving so fast, mm-hmm. and decisions have to be made that reflection doesn't get to be done. And that can be hard, but, all in all, I'm just having a lot of fun. I tell you, I just think, yeah, keep it simple. You know, we're not trying to be perfect. We're trying to make progress.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end day, when you can say that a student athlete or someone said thank you for doing something for a parent, that can take you a whole year. in regards to motivation, because you're impacting lives at the end of the day.
Because that's why you you came aboard in the first place, right?
Exactly.
So, Karen, what do you think? What do you wish someone had told you before you took over the role of president at AATP?
Well, I think perhaps maybe some of the different personalities that you might run into. There's sometimes delicate situations that come up, but for the most part, I knew what I was getting into, and it is great fun, just like Vaughn said. You know, the biggest things, we have minimum things that we owe our stakeholders, our sponsors, and our members that we must do, period. We have minimum, you know, financial requirements that we've got to have in the bank. Beyond that, other things that we do, like some of the university initiatives and other development initiatives we're starting out new and growing into, that's kind of all extra gravy, and there's some forgiveness if it takes 2 years instead of 1 year to get something off the ground. You know, from that standpoint, we can throttle forward or throttle back and manage our time from that standpoint.
Right, right. Well, very good. So I tell you what, it's been a fantastic opportunity to chat with both of you. It's amazing how time flies, isn't it? So my final question for you, your answer to this question will be posted on our blog. So which business book has most impacted your leadership ability? And Vaughn, I think you and I would be in agreement that ladies certainly should go first, right?
Yes, they should.
Okay.
They should always go first.
Karen, what are your thoughts?
Well, this is actually more of a philosophy book, but has become a business book, and it's called The Four Agreements.
The Four Agreements.
Right.
Okay.
And it's got four main agreements that you live by, and it actually saved me and has helped me in many a business deal, as well as with running the ATP organization. And you're going to laugh because I can only think of three right now, but there's four, but you'll post it. But, you know, never make assumptions about people or things or situations that might be going on. If someone's not getting back to you about something, a client or a volunteer or a sponsor or an executive that you want to speak, they're just busy, right? Be impeccable with your word. So it's about trust. Doing what you say you're going to do, and then always do your best. Always get, you know, that back to that servant leadership, and just doing your best in everything that you attempt to do. Okay. And then the fourth one, I'm just drawing a mental blank on, so sorry about that.
But
it's a great book.
But you know, you're batting 750, so 75% is pretty good, and
it'll
get you in the Hall of Fame anytime.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
That is good. That is
very good.
Very good.
That's a heck of a winning percentage. So, Vaughn, what are your thoughts?
Wow, I was thinking about this, and there's been many books that I've read, but I guess The Servant by James Hunter. It's a fable. And just had my department read it over as a summer read for them. And I read it every year, twice. Very simple read, but it really talks about giving it all to your people. And I think it talks about the leaders at the bottom. And the major stakeholders, your people, is at the top. And it talks about lateral. And so it really talks about the investment necessary and the selfless manner in which you need to do things to impact just beyond monetary, but to impact lives and what goes into it. So it's a great read. I'm a big believer. I'm going to throw in another. I'm a big believer in all John Maxwell's books, and I've read many, many of them. And
have you had a chance to meet him yet?
Not yet. I'm working on that.
I'll see if I can help that.
But I think it's The Servant. To me, it's a very simple fable about what really life is about, what really leadership, our responsibility as leaders, are about, what I believe it's about anyway. So,
okay.
So that'd be that book.
Well, fantastic. So on behalf of our learning community, it has certainly been an honor and a pleasure to have both of you in the studio with us today, because you bring a certain passion that is unparalleled in a lot of the conversations we've had over the last several weeks since we've been on the air. So I'd love to have you back on the show sometime if that works out with your schedule. Is that a deal?
Yeah, sure. Only if I can come back with Karen at
only
the same time.
All
right, I think we're a good team. No, but we'll be connected by that time. We're going to be connected by that time.
But you didn't say I looked good. You said he looked good. So.
Oh, that's a given, Karen. That's a given. That's too funny. So with that in mind, could you tell our learning community how we can contact you by either email or phone or both? Karen?
Oh, sure. Karen.finger, F as in Frank, I-N-G-E-R, at atpconnect.org. And then our website is atpconnect.org as well.
Great. And Vaughn?
It would be V. William, that's with no S, at kennesaw.edu, and KSUOwls.com. And that's how you can look on our website and come
it's
out to a few games. Yeah, it's very complicated. So, Alan, very much thank you for having both of us on the show. You're doing great things for Kennesaw State and definitely the Executive MBA program and true ambassador of what we're all about at Kennesaw State.
Well, I greatly appreciate that. So with that response, we'll bring this edition of Global Leader Radio to a close. So we invite you to check our web presence for previous interviews and links to valuable leadership resources. Also, I'd enjoy hearing your thoughts to include any recommendations for future guests. So I know I'm going to talk to Vaughn as well as Karen about getting some future guests here as well. So please drop me a line at my email address of acm0996@kennesaw.edu. And so again, thank you for joining us on Global Leader Radio, the show that discusses ideas that matter with people who care. So have a great week.
Global Leader Radio is brought to you by the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University. Take charge of your personal development and professional career today by learning more at KSUEMBA.com. And join us next week as we discuss ideas that matter with people who care.